So,
we did that with sunglasses on and everything. Okay.
I wear my sunglasses at night.
That's 11:45.
Yeah, good enough.
In the morning.
Yeah.
The alcohol says different.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It is 5 o'clock somewhere.
Dude, so there's all kinds of crazy shit going on in this world now. What did you see? I mean, I don't know. I don't need to ask you. Did you see what New York City's doing now?
No.
How they're going to we're getting started right off the jump.
So in New York City, Mayor de Hitler, de Blasio.
Yes. De Blasio, yeah.
Yeah, you can't go inside anywhere in New York City unless you can prove you're vaccinated. Yep. They did this once before in history in like the 1940s, right?
Is a HIPAA violation, by the way.
So I hear all kinds of different things about that. Like they're saying HIPAA violation refers to healthcare workers. Like they can't discuss your records. It doesn't mean that these companies can't ask for proof of vaccination, which to me is still bullshit and I don't understand it. But so this didn't go into effect yet, but the mayor is suggesting that these restaurants and gyms and things like that require proof of vaccination for people to enter. This whole forced vaccination thing and whole proof of vaccination thing is driving me a little bit insane, because it's already proven that even if you're vaccinated, you can still catch it. You can still spread it. The only thing the vaccine does is lessens the symptoms. Yeah. So it's only helping you. If you get vaccinated, it doesn't help me. It helps you. Yeah. So all of this nonsense doesn't make any sense to me.
Did you see what Abbott did, though?
Abbott, no.
I want to move to Texas.
Dude, Florida's looking better and better every day, too, with DeSantis.
He will not put another mask mandate out. If any private or publicly owned company receives funding from the state, they cannot require a vaccine passport. Local governments cannot limit businesses on how many people can go in and require them to wear masks while in there.
That's pretty cool.
Let's move to Texas.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm over this mask shit. I care too much about my skin to wear a mask all the time because it makes my face break out. I can't stand it. And granted, that's not the only reason, but I am really claustrophobic personally, and it makes me feel like I can't breathe. And you know, there's all these jokes and these memes like, oh, I'm wearing a mask, I can't breathe. No, I'm extremely claustrophobic and it makes me start to panic. So it's like I cannot stand to wear them. And now that we are away from it in Georgia and it's starting to get to that mandate again and right on the cusp of that mandate, I'm like, God, if they shut down businesses again, I'm screwed. I just bought a new car. After not having a car for a year because of COVID, and I'm like, okay, well, is Biden going to pay me every week? Because that's the only way I'm going to be able to pay for my bills.
Yeah. And the whole mask thing down there is a lot harder too. You're down in Georgia. It's hot as hell down there compared to up here.
Yeah.
Hot as hell all the time.
Yeah. It's hot all the time down
there. It was 112 degrees the other day.
That's
like Arizona heat.
Yeah, that's nuts, dude.
Yeah, except you guys have humidity. They don't.
Yeah, so 112 feels like 125 because it's humid heat.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
And you're a bartender, so if they start putting restrictions on everything again, that's going to hurt you so much more.
Yeah. Bad.
Because people need to go out and drink, man, especially now.
My mom bitched about it. My mom bartends down in Georgia, too. Yeah. She bitched about it.
Yeah.
Although her bar was
bad because
it's a very right-standing bar, so they didn't enforce a lot of the shit. So they were still fucking.
The problem with ours is because our max capacity in the restaurant is about 75 people. give or take, depending on if we push tables together or however we decide to do it. But there's 17 seats at the bar currently. They're trying to buy a new, they're trying to close on this new place so they can make it bigger. But there's 17 seats at the bar currently, which if they mandated masks again, everybody sitting at the bar, we would have to close off every other seat. So that cuts my bar seats in half. And then I would have to wear a mask to be able to bartend. I paid a lot of money for my teeth. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, your personality is right here. The more you smile, the better off you are when it comes to making tips in the service industry. You've got to have personality. You've got to be able to, you know, socialize with people. And the mask thing completely obliterates that. You yeah. can't socialize with anybody. You can't really tell a person's personality or what they're feeling when this part of their face is covered. Your eyes say a lot, but they don't say that much.
Yeah, it's rough.
It goes back to my Nazi thing. The Nazis wanted everybody to be the same. You needed to carry a piece of paper saying you weren't Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So what really is the difference between what Hitler did, and I'm going to make this comparison. Now. I don't care. Our podcast isn't big enough, and if this gets it to blow up and they want to try to cancel me, fuck them. What is the difference between what Hitler did then and what the liberals are doing now?
It's
Nazi Pelosi, Bill de Blasio, and fucking Joe Hitler in the White
House. It's literally what we've been talking about. It's literally what we've been talking about for a while now. And it's the same thing when it comes to gun rights. You give an inch, they take a mile. And people are slowly becoming more conditioned to losing more and more freedoms. And they don't mm-hmm. care. They're willing to sacrifice freedom for what they feel is safety.
So this week on my library app on my book or on my phone, I finally got the book by Ben Shapiro.
Oh,
yeah. How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps.
I want
to. I'm only like an hour and a half in, but he makes the point. Our government in 1776, when all of this shit started, you know, right there, was built to protect individuals' rights.
Mm-hmm.
The government is there to protect individuals' rights, not causes. For the greater good.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are getting to be okay with giving up their individual rights.
Fuck no.
Dude, in another podcast episode I listened to this week was on Rogan. He had on, her name was, I think it's Yeonmi Park, the girl who escaped North Korea. And she travels around the country now and she gives lectures and speeches and whatnot. But it was the best 3.5 hours I've ever listened to on Joe Rogan. Like her story was absolutely heartbreaking. And even she says that America seems to have lost its way. She went to, what was it? Columbia University, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And she said that every single class that she took, it doesn't matter what the class was. One was a music class. The class always ended with the professors telling the students that in order to recreate America, they have to destroy its foundation, the Declaration of Independence. They have to rewrite everything. And that's absolutely insane. So when people are always talking, like people on the right are always talking about the indoctrination at these universities, and the left tries to defend it and say, there's no way. We're not doing that. No one's doing that. Dude, listen, a girl came over from North Korea. And she sees all of this because it's reminding her of what happened back there.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to push too much bullshit into the schools.
That is such an important episode. If you listen to podcasts at all, I highly suggest looking up that episode. It's a fairly new episode. It's one of his last two or three that he just put up. It's really good.
Haven't been on the road as much, you know. Haven't been able to listen to as many podcasts. Yeah. You know, I've been sitting in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now you're sitting around playing Candy Crush.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a hard life, man. He's got a hard job.
It's so hard.
It's tough. It's tough. Tougher than anything you do, I'm sure.
I'm telling you. I only have to deal with assholes day in and day out. That's it.
Drunk assholes.
Then I go home and I play video games.
Although I'm assuming the drunker they are, the more they spend.
Hey, listen, it's gonna get harder here soon.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Nicole? We only recently met you, yeah? So we don't know a whole heck of a lot about you.
Clutch knows a little bit, but
well, yeah. I mean, you're his future wife. He's gotta know about
future wife. I'm telling you.
I will be 28 years old this year. I am a mom of three, two boys and a girl. My oldest is almost 8. My middle one's almost 7, and my daughter almost turned 5. Or she is 5. She turned 5 in June. Let me reiterate that. I am a bartender full time. I own my own business. And so I work two jobs and try to manage to sleep and do everything else in between at the same time. And I'm a full time Twitch streamer as well.
Heck yeah. I like it.
Switch.
Yeah, over on Twitch now. You used to game on Facebook, yeah?
I did. I gamed on Facebook for a while, for probably about almost 4 months. And it just got to the point where they were hitting me with limited originality content left and right. You know, I was posting all of my own stuff. The mishap was that I had posted a TikTok on what I thought was my group page, but it was my gaming page. So they hit me with the originality content. I deleted everything and they still would not give me my stars. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm going to Twitch because I'm tired of the algorithm with Facebook anyway. And the fact that everybody on there that has met partner or whatever, if you look at the female side of everything, I don't know how much less fabric they can wear without being naked, really. Mm. So it's like,
kind of wild.
That makes sense.
In the popularity of the hot tub stream now.
You're not even good. You're not even good at your games. People are literally there to see your tits on your desk. That's it.
I mean, I'm telling you, man, the Just Chatting streams are super popular right now. People love just coming in and hanging out. They really do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so, I have thought multiple times about doing it because I do makeup and I do hair and all of that other stuff. And even like with my business, you know, I make handmade crafts and I can do that on Just Chatting streams.
Heck yeah.
Easily.
It's a good idea.
Do it.
And it would promote my business on top of, you know, getting through to everybody else that's on the Just Chatting side of Twitch.
So why don't you promote your business here a little bit? Tell us about your own business you started up.
My business is called the Crystal Wolf Company. I actually started working on it in early 2019. And back in the latter of 2018, it was probably around November-ish that I started really thinking about it. And I started working really on the heart of it into 2019. Originally I was called the Purple Lotus, and I just recently changed all of that because my initial envision was to do all of my own skincare and all of my own home remedies for illnesses and whatever else, because healthcare is expensive, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, if I can make something and it does the same thing as an over-the-counter drug or a prescription drug, by all means, it saves people so much money, especially these people that have so many allergies to shit. It blows my mind. Like, I'm not allergic to anything other than morphine. So it's like, I don't have these allergies that most people have. Like, my grandmother has a codeine allergy. She can't take the majority of pain pills because they all have codeine in them. So she has a lot of issues with arthritis, and because she was a cosmetologist for 44 years, her hands will lock up and just her joints are bad. So, you know, being able to help people that have joint problems and stuff like that is really good for me, but at the same time, it's good for them too, because I do everything at such a low cost. It doesn't take me very much to make the stuff that I do. So, you know, I'm turning around a profit either way. My point is to help people that can't afford healthcare, because coming from the military, I only have a certain amount of healthcare with them because I'm only 50% disabled. So I don't get the full benefit of healthcare from them. I only get mental health and that's it. So it's like, why would I want to be like every other doctor or every other, you know, specialist and charge so much money when it's really not about the money? It's about the care for the people. And that's what I hated about working in healthcare so much, was because everybody's bedside manner sucks. Like, I worked in healthcare for a long time and I would get in trouble because my turnaround time was so much longer than everybody else's, because I actually would have conversations with my patients. You're in a hospital. You are in an uncomfortable position. You are not at home where you're most comfortable. Of course, you want to sit there and try to make them feel as comfortable as possible. If I'm going to be sticking somebody with needles, I want them to be comfortable. I don't want them to be tensed up. I don't want them to be, you know, freaking out over everything.
Yeah, it can make a world of difference.
Yeah. And especially people that have autoimmune disorders like lupus or stuff like that, they have to be stuck all the time for blood tests, and it's ridiculous. Like, I can remember one time I had a patient and I had to draw like 20 different tubes of blood. That's a lot of blood. And thankfully, you know, you only have to stick once for that most of the time. God forbid that vein collapse or whatever, and then you have to stick them again. It sucks. And I hate for people that, even people that are used to being stuck on a regular basis, I still don't want them to be uncomfortable. So
can you ever really get used to that?
No.
Ooh, that's because that's nuts. I had a blood clot once and I got 13 vials drawn out of me at one time.
Can you ever get used to getting stuck? How many tattoos you got?
That it's no, it's different.
Says me.
getting blood drawn is different than getting a tattoo. The tattoo, that's like numbing, man. It's like different. It's
first 2 to 3 layers of skin when you're getting a tattoo.
Yeah. They're not digging into your vein. Like, ooh.
Like, I mean, I donate blood on a regular basis. So it's
my skin is translucent, so they can find the veins super easy.
I have a really good vein on my right arm, and I call it my donation arm because that's the only one that I use. I don't use my left one. But I've got so many scars from where they've stuck me right there. You look people like, would think I was an addict in the past.
That's bad.
You got track marks.
It's such a huge scar right here in the dip of my arm. And I'm like, because I always tell them whenever I go, and that's like a 16-gauge needle. That bitch is huge.
That's huge.
A 16-gauge needle.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because it has to open up that vein big enough to let it flow through easier. But, you know, thankfully I've got nice big veins in my arms, so I don't really have to worry about it. But, you know, people are like, oh, you've done this quite a few times, haven't you? I said, well, yeah, that, and I was a phlebotomist too. I've started my own IVs before.
She was a vampire, man. She was a vampire.
I was a vampire.
That's awesome.
I loved every minute of it. But, you know, you get to the point where you feel like you have to do more. And that was my turning point for me starting my business, was I was not getting the I was getting satisfaction out of what I was doing in the hospital, but I was not getting the satisfaction that I needed out of the hospital. And to be able to help people, as far as whether it be skincare or it's internal care or whatever it may be, whether you're consuming some of my products or you're putting my products topically on your skin, that's what I want to do, is to be able to make stuff that makes people feel better on the inside and the outside.
So you have, I got to ask you, did you ever have people faint on you when you were a vampire? Anybody pass out on you?
I've only had one person to ever pass out, but she, you know, she pre-warned me and told me, she said, it happens all the time. She said, if I just happen to start feeling that way, she said, you know, just let me know. But this was not a patient. This was a girl in my lab.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She had to have a blood test run, and she was like, okay, I can go ahead and tell you I'm probably going to pass out. I was like, well, that makes me feel really great about sticking you. Thank you. I'm telling you, as soon as she saw the blood running through that tube, out.
You know what, though? At least she's don't not look. All tensed up then. Yeah. Well, at least she's not all tensed up then. It's nice and relaxed. Mm-mm. Makes it. No?
No.
Oh, God.
Because we had to get emergency team to come in there. So basically our code team to come in there and try to get her to wake up. Thankfully, you know, smelling salts are a wonderful thing. Yeah. And she woke right up. But I was like, okay, y'all don't move her. I don't want this thing to come out of her arm. I just need to get just a little bit of blood out of here to fill this vial. Don't move her.
I think phlebotomists are crazy, or you got to have like nerves of steel, because when it comes to drawing blood from a baby, you got to get it from the bottom of the foot. Yeah. So that's got to be really hard.
How the hell do you even know that?
I worked in a hospital for a while.
Oh, I talked
to vampires.
What's so bad about like neonates and, you know, drawing from kids that are, you know, 1 year to about 10, bless their hearts, they do not have balls of steel at that age. They do not. And it sucks because, you know, they're crying and all I can do is think of my own kids. Mm-hmm. And that's where it was hard for me, because I could not separate that this is not my child and this is somebody else's child and it's their problem, not mine. And that was a huge issue for me. And a lot of the reason why I hated having to go and draw blood in labor and delivery, because there were so many moms that would have stillborns, or they would, you know, they would have the baby and then not too long after the baby would die. And it sucks because you have to go and draw blood on that baby that has passed away to run tests to see why they died.
That's got to be rough.
No.
It sucks.
No, man.
How often does that happen? I would have never guessed that it happens all that often, but
it doesn't happen very often. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the old wives' tale of for every time somebody dies, a baby is born. Uh-huh. I was working in a wing that had a lot of geriatric patients and a lot of ones that were on a 24-hour observation. And I had a patient that they called for the code. So immediately I have to run down to wherever they're at. I have to draw a full rainbow of blood tests while they're trying to resuscitate these people. And as they called it, after I'd gotten my blood, they called the code, you know, they said, you know, obviously this is not going to work. By law, by insurance purposes, they have to run a code for at least 15 minutes. So they ran it. It didn't work out. And as soon as they called it and called time of death, that lullaby started playing over the loudspeaker and a baby had been born right after they had called.
Jesus Christ.
That's wild. And I was
like, I got chills and I'm even getting chills now, but it blew my mind because I have had that happen so many different times working in the hospital. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, yeah, there is absolutely no way that my great grandmother told me this, and this is true right now. Blows my mind every time it happens.
Yeah. But
with babies, it doesn't happen as often as like people that don't work in the hospital. You're like, okay, well, that doesn't happen very often. But if you work in a hospital all the time, it happens more than you would like for it to. And I think that over a month, there would probably be maybe two or three occurrences that that would happen, but two or three a month is a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But having to, I think the what did it for me, what was my breaking point was I worked in an ER, and we were not a high trauma ER, but we had, it was 2 weeks in a row that we had people come in on through EMS because they had coded. The first one was a prisoner, and he had gotten into an altercation at prison, and the officer tased him. Little did he know that he had a heart problem, and he tested positive for every drug in the book when he got over the line into the hospital or into the jail. Well, when he tased him, he went into cardiac arrest. And he immediately started doing chest compressions. I don't know who in the hell taught him how to do chest compressions, because it didn't help, obviously. But they brought him in. You know, most EMS now have a device that they call the Lucas device, and it does the chest compressions for you. So that it's this huge thing that goes on either side of your body, and it does the 100 beats per minute chest compressions on the person. Because
I've never heard of that.
If you ever do chest compressions on some, like,
you want to break their ribs, basically.
Yeah. And
I've seen CPR performed one time. I thought I was having a heart attack like 2 weeks later. I had a panic attack because it haunted me. It haunted me because it was one of my good friend's fathers was the one who he ultimately passed away. Like, I could hear them saying he was dead on the ground. But I'm watching them give CPR to him, and I've known this man since I was little, and it is so violent.
Yes.
Like, I was just I was so dumb. Like I said, it haunted me.
You don't realize how bad it is until you're the one doing it, because you're not actually breaking ribs. It's the cartilage that's in between your ribs that you hear popping. And that's why it freaks so many people out.
Yeah.
Because you think that you're hurting them more than you're helping them. And the first time I ever had to do CPR, I mean, we had somebody, fall completely out in the hallway of the hospital. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, me and a couple other people were the only ones around. So, of course, my fight or flight instinct kicks in, and immediately I started doing CPR. And I was like, I don't ever want to do this again. I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore.
You want to help someone, terrifying. But it's a scary situation. I would be scared.
So she just told us about the thing that'll do compressions for you. So, new job I started, you both know. So they're going through like safety shit, and they had this one dude come in who's like, and they're giving us our ladders and our harnesses and shit like that. Well, they're providing the AEDs. Bro, this AED is insane. Yes. You strap it on, it tells you if they're having a cardiac event.
It's voice activated or what it is.
It says hook it up, and it's like a Z. It goes under one tit, up and over the other one, basically. And it reads on it, and it forces you to do compressions first.
Yep.
Do compressions, then it tells you no shock needed. Or stand clear, shock coming in 5, 4, 3, and then it goes.
No shit.
Yep.
Yep. So it's no more of the you make the decision. This thing walks you through it. It even tells you to call 911.
Yeah, which is what they have in businesses now. And they even have AEDs in hospitals, but, you know, they still are required to have crash carts. They still have the paddles and everything, especially in the ER, because God forbid we have to charge anybody that's in the ER. But that prisoner that we had come in, when he got in there, like I said, they have to work a code for at least 15 minutes for insurance purposes. This guy, I swear to you, from the bottom of his chest up was already blue. He's already gone. And they're still doing the chest compressions and everything. It between that one and then the patient that I had after that that came in and coded. That was the first time I had ever had to move a dead body by myself. And that wasn't already covered up. That wasn't, you know, anything. When I tell you to look into somebody's dead eyes and see absolutely nothing, it's like, it's such, it's, it blows my mind, because to just see how it was like he suffocated, because you've got all of that hemorrhaging. If you ever watch, you know, crime shows and they're talking about petechial hemorrhaging in your eyes, they're super cloudy. Looks like he's got cataracts. And I'm just like, it looks like you suffocated. It's terrible.
That's insane.
And then I had,
I don't ever want to look into a dead person's eyes.
It was just like chills everywhere, because it was like, there's clearly no soul left in this body. It's weird. But had a kid come in a week later that had coded because of an overdose. And he was exactly a year and a day younger than me. And he came in and was, it was already said in his chart that he had come in for suicidal ideations several times in the past. So clearly this kid is struggling with depression. Clearly, you know, suicidal depression is an issue with him. And from the looks of it, you know, he didn't really get much help, or nobody helped him to get any help. And when he came in this time, he had tested positive for everything but heroin. Everything but heroin. And it was so bad when we, because we have to do a rectal temperature whenever they come in, especially if we have to intubate, because obviously we can't get a temperature any other way. And did the rectal temperature. His temperature was 108.7. He
burned
himself from the inside out. Like, I just could not believe. And that was the breaking point for me. To see somebody come in that is clearly so far gone and has not gotten any help, and to do that to themselves, I was like, I said, I can't move any more dead bodies. I can't go up to a family and tell them, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. And it's terrible, because the doctor had me go with him to confront the family. And I was like, I don't want to do it no more. I'm done. That's rough. Because, like, you can hear the mom just screaming throughout the whole entire ER. And I'm like, no, I don't want to ever have to go through that. And I cannot even begin to sympathize with how she feels. It was a huge revelation for me. And I was like, I just can't do it anymore. I said, I would rather be on the end of trying to help people from a distance, because I'm that person that I develop relationships with my patients, and especially people that I see on a regular basis. And when it gets to a point where you know me by name because you come into the hospital so much, I don't want to have to ever develop that relationship with anybody ever again, because it hurts whenever you don't see them again, or you hear that something horrible has happened to them.
Yeah.
It sucks. So I had to distance myself from the healthcare scene, and I had to start doing my own thing to where I felt like I was still benefiting people, still helping people, but I was able to distance myself as far as the relationship factor went.
Yeah. Being a nurse is a hard job. And I feel like a lot of nurses don't get enough credit for that.
Oh yeah.
My mom did the memorial for 15 years, long time.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And now
I would get close to some of her patients up there, 'cause I'd go up and visit, and it's a nursing home. Yeah. So I'd go in and I would sit there and feed the one lady like once a week, just sit there and talk to her. She had MS. Yeah. I think she had MS, yeah, and she couldn't move from the neck down. So I would go in and I would feed her and sit there and talk to her. I miss that lady, Rose. She was amazing.
For how important nurses are and how much they go through, it's insane to me that now nurses who have been at a hospital for 5, 10, 15, 20 years can be fired for not getting vaccinated. Just to
being the ones that pulled us out of the fucking pandemic with no vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. absolutely insane to hear that they're being threatened with termination now.
So dumb.
So when you were working in the medical field, were you bartending as well part-time, or was that shift after you got out of the medical field?
I bartended before I went into the medical field, and then like on my days off, I would pick up shifts if I needed to. Because what I was doing, I was able to do everything that an LPN could do. I just didn't have it behind my name. So I was a medical assistant. And so I had to assist all of the nurses. Basically, I'm a lower paid LPN. And it was one of those things that it was like, okay, it's enough to float for right now, but it's like every now and then, if I'm not getting as many shifts as I want, then I would bartend to pick up the extra slack. And even if I wasn't bartending, I was serving. So, you know, I've worked in places, you know, strictly dive bars. And then I've worked at places like Longhorns. By the way, Longhorns is the worst job I've ever had. Absolutely terrible. Because I'm that person that I like to work in places like dive bars, because they're like, okay, well, you can pretty much wear whatever you want. You don't have to wear black pants and a black button-up shirt. I'm sorry, I'm not formal to that extent. I can't do it. I am a t-shirt and jeans kind of girl, and I cannot do this whole dressing up in black slacks and a button-up shirt. Can't do it. So, and you're just miserable because you're back there in the kitchen trying to collect food, and it's hotter than hell in there. And you're in a long-sleeve shirt. No. Mm-mm.
So the name of the episode, Longhorn Sucks.
Okay.
We got circle it. Back. Let's hear about it. Why did Longhorn suck?
Yeah.
They were very, how do I say this? They were very strict about a lot of things. Like, I was hired as a bartender, but I had to basically shadow a server for a couple of months before I was even eligible to be a bartender. Mind you, I've been a bartender for almost 12 years. And at that time, I had been a bartender for like almost 8 years. So it was like, why do I need to prove my worth whenever I've got the work experience and you've called all of my references and they've told you, you know, oh, she's an excellent bartender. Go ahead, put her at the bar. Why are you going to stick me with a server? Not only that, but you stuck me with a server that is requiring me to do all the work, and then she's taking my tips. Absolutely not. I understand that you're paying me on a training pay wage, but if I'm going to do all the work and she's going to take the tips, that's bullshit. I don't care if you're paying me, you know, $10 an hour as a training pay wage or whatever. I'm not fixing to let her sit on her ass and just make free money. It's not going to happen. So I confronted the GM about it. And he was like, well, she's a veteran server. She's a conditioned server. I said, yes, and I'm a veteran bartender and conditioned bartender, but you still stuck me with somebody that's stealing my tip money. I said, I don't understand what any of that makes sense. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, you can either give me my tip money that I made from her or I'm gone. Needless to say, good. I didn't get my tip money, and I left.
Good. You know what? Dive bars are better anyway, man. You get to know the customers a lot better. It's a lot more personal. You
get your regulars.
Well, it's so much more laid back. You're so comfortable. You don't feel uptight about anything. And I love dive bar food better than I like formal restaurant food any day.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always like tacos and burgers and, you know, stuff that's really easy for everybody to eat and that everybody wants. Mm-hmm. And people that come into an establishment and they feel more comfortable about spending more money.
Yep.
And if the drinks are good and if the food is good, then obviously you're going to spend more money. My thing is like, the people that I work with, they don't like to take time on their drinks. Granted, it's a little bit harder on like Friday and Saturday nights when you're trying to take time on your drinks. But I've gotten to a point where I can still take my time and I can get quality drinks out and I'm not overwhelming myself and I'm not getting backed up either. So it's like, if you don't take your time, whether it's a fast take your time or a slow take your time, if you don't garnish your drinks or make sure that your drinks look nice, you eat with your eyes and your nose first. If it doesn't look good or if it doesn't smell good, it's not going to taste good because your eyes and your nose have already been that predecessor of what it's going to taste like.
Yeah.
So
I'm a simple person though. You know, me and my Captain and Cokes keep the fucking lime. I don't need the lime on the rim of the cup.
Mm-hmm. You fuck up a Captain and Coke. Trust me.
No, you can't.
I have seen it done.
The only way you fuck it up is if there's not at least half a fucking glass of Captain. Anything less than half, that's fucked up. But otherwise, can't fuck it up.
Well, it's like I had somebody come in the other day that ordered a vodka and Sprite. And, I mean, did it in a regular rocks glass, vodka Sprite. And anything that has Sprite in it, I always garnish it with a lemon and a lime. Because Sprite is a lemon-lime soda. So I garnished it with a lemon and lime, and he was like, that's the best looking vodka and Sprite I've ever seen in my life. I said, it's a clear drink with a lemon and a lime on it. For you to say that looks good and it's the most simple drink ever, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, you know, people appreciate the effort.
He was like, oh, this is Facebook worthy. He said, this is Facebook worthy. I was like,
so why the lime on a Captain and Coke? The lemon and lime on a vodka Sprite makes sense. Why the lime on a fucking...
I think it's just it just goes with the flavor. It's like an accent with the spice drum. I don't know. It's a
cherry.
I don't know.
In the drink would make more sense than that.
Really?
Yeah.
A cherry.
Yeah, I always do it. If it's anything spiced rum, I usually do it with cherry because it's got cherry Coke. Obviously, that's what I do for my. If I do Captain and Coke, it's always cherry Coke because I like that little bit of sweet behind it. So if I ever do a Captain and Coke, I always garnish with a cherry. But I don't put the cherry in the drink. I'll put a slit in the cherry and stick it on the side of the glass because not everybody wants a cherry. But like old fashions have cherry. They also have orange.
They're a pain in the ass to make too.
I love making old fashions.
They're so time consuming though.
I love getting an old fashioned.
I watched Jerry make old fashions a lot. What did you say?
So I love getting an old fashioned. Got to bring that nonsense in there somewhere, right? Hey,
and it came from you.
Got to. I'm surprised it didn't come from Clutch.
Right?
That, ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah, lick my drink, baby.
Ooh.
So we need some good bartending stories now. I need to hear some of your funniest moments.
Oh god.
You gotta have too many to count.
Wait, let her think about the funny ones. How many fights have you ever had to break up at a bar?
My god. Like
every week.
I've had to break up fights. A lot, but what's funny is me breaking up fights between guys that are your guys' size.
So what's your best technique for breaking up a fight?
I pick up a water hose.
A water hose?
Hey, it works.
Like if it's close to the part of the bar that has the gun, I'll just spray him with water or something to just, it's like hosing off a dog. It's like, or like stop.
Spraying a cat. No. No.
Bad.
Well, it's like in Coyote Ugly where they order water.
Yeah. Hell no H2O.
Yeah. Hell no H2O. It's a whole vibe.
The one bar by us has a female bartender. Well, most of them do. But the Gravity, I've been in there for a few fights, and Jen, the bartender there, takes no shit. She's a tall woman. She's probably 6 foot, but she will walk out and two dudes will be two dudes will be hauling off, and she will walk right up in between them and grab them. Get the fuck out of my bar.
Ooh. That's awesome.
Ooh. And she will follow that. She won't serve another drink until they get out.
Mm-mm. Nope. We had
which then pisses, you know, people sitting at the bar waiting for a drink off. And they're gonna be like, yep, get the fuck out. Let's go. That's our technique.
Mm-hmm. You gotta wear some cowboy boots and then just start kicking shins. Just kick shins.
Curb stomping boats.
Get them with the spurs, heal them.
My thing is, like, we had this huge thing for Halloween last year. So we had 2 days of Halloween because Halloween fell on a Friday, I think it was last year. So we did Friday and Saturday, we did a Halloween party. And we all dressed up, everybody that came in had dressed up, and we let the kids that come in trick or treat. We had a big bowl of candy, you know, whatever. At the end, closer to about 10 o'clock, we had a DJ come in, and I was able to turn all of my TVs off. I didn't have to be the DJ anymore. I was good. We had this group, I said we, but I think I was the only bartender that night, but had this group of guys come in. They were not from around here. They were from Florida or something like that. But they were drinking strictly vodka and cranberry all night.
Exciting.
But, oh my God, when I tell you that this guy was so plastered, he literally, like, where the bar is, we have steps that go up, that's where the DJ was. You go up the steps because it's a two-story building. And mind you, this building is extremely old. It was built in 1897. It's an old building. You go up the steps, and there's a platform right at the steps before it goes up to the second floor. And we had the DJ set up and everything. This dude kept going up the stairs, knocking everything down, all decorations-wise, on the steps. He was so plastered, and I cut him off. I refused to serve him after he started knocking shit over. And he'd gone up the steps one time to request a song, and he actually unplugged the power source to the DJ booth. So who I know personally was pissed, and so was his wife. His wife was pissed. And he came up to me, the guy that unplugged everything, he came up to me at the side of the bar and decided that since, you know, liquid courage had kicked in, it was, you know, okay for him to put his hand right there in the small of my back. I said, first of all, you're not going to fucking put your hands on me. And two, I've already told you that I'm not going to serve you anymore because you're too fucked up. I said, you can have a water, you can have a Coke, whatever. I'm not serving you any more alcohol. Well, he got pissed off. He started going around in the bar asking people to buy him drinks. He was like, so he decided to go up to the DJ's wife and do the same thing. He put his hand in the small of her back and tried to pull her closer to him to talk to her because it was loud. Well, all of a sudden she steps back and puts her hands up like this, and the DJ saw it. I've never seen a man come down a flight of stairs so damn fast. And he jumped over three or four people, and just railed this dude in his face.
That's amazing.
They tipped over tables, they tipped over chairs, and I went over, this guy lost a shoe in the process.
That's amazing.
And I went up to the guy that I cut off, and I grabbed him by both sides of his shirt. I said, get the fuck out of my bar or I'm calling the cops. I've never seen a guy tuck his tail between his legs so damn fast and walk out of an establishment in my life.
That's awesome. I fucking love it.
And then my boss, she's watching the camera the whole time, and she said, I swear you need to be a part of a NASCAR pit crew or something. I've never seen anybody pick up tables so fast in my life.
That's great.
Oh, shit.
That was probably one of my thing is I can grab somebody by their shirt. I don't give a shit if you're 6'4". If I grab you by your shirt, you better be glad I'm not grabbing you by your throat. Get out.
I was totally expecting you to say you hauled off and slugged someone in that story. I was waiting for that.
Well, the fact is I almost did. Somebody stopped me because in the process of me trying to break them up along with everybody else, this dude that I cut off fucking hit me.
Ooh, damn.
And he hit me like right in my collarbone, in my shoulder, and they stopped me from hitting him. That's when I grabbed his shirt and told him to get the fuck out. Mm. Because the next thing that would have come out of his mouth would have been his teeth.
I love it.
Oh, I said, I said, no. I said, they need to get out. And of course, State Patrol and County Sheriff shows up at the bar. And I closed everything down. I said, nope, I said, I'm not even calling last call. I said, everybody needs to pay their fucking tab and get the hell out. I said, I'm done. So that's I'm standing out there until 4 o'clock in the morning talking to GSP and County Sheriff. Thankfully, I knew the both of them. So they were like, you got all this handled? I said, yeah, I got it handled. I said, I don't need y'all. I'm good. He said, okay, have a good night.
I'm assuming you've talked to them a handful of times then, yeah?
Yeah, and then my family knows the head sheriff. So oh, yeah? living in a small town, we all know each other. And most of them have known me since I was in diapers.
Yeah, so, we kind of get that. We understand that feeling, right?
It's a lot easier when you know people, but at the same time, and I tell people, just because I know them really well doesn't mean that I get out of tickets. Mm-hmm. I still get tickets, trust me. Yeah. But it's a lot better when you do know people, because if shit hits the fan like that at work, then it's so much easier to just completely reconcile all of it whenever you know somebody versus dealing with a cop or whatever that's an asshole and just wants to sit there and do a bunch of paperwork. Our cops are lazy. They don't like doing paperwork.
Sometimes it's for the best.
Yeah. But fights happen. I haven't had a fight happen since I've been back up there. So Halloween last year was a pretty big fight. And then we had one not too long after New Year's. And of course, it just all comes down to alcohol and people talking shit. And it was like, but the one that happened after New Year's, the dude that got into a fight with the other guy, he was like, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, knock shit over and, you know, make it a pain in the ass. And he tipped me $100. I was like, apology accepted. Thanks.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Money solves everything.
Yeah. That's true. I said, you paid my bills for the week. I'm good.
Hell yeah. So what's your favorite moment working as a bartender? You have anything that stands out that way?
Favorite moment as a bartender? All of the married men that come in and say, if my wife calls, tell her I'm not here.
That happens often?
I've never had to do that.
Yes. I've had so many people to come in there and be like, if my wife calls up here, you didn't see me. I said, well, that's an extra $10 on your tip then.
There you go. That's what's up.
I said, I'm going to make myself a shirt that says, $10 extra to tell your wife you're not here.
Just make a sign and put it up in the bar.
Yeah, you could do that
you
too.
You make shit like that, make a sign to hang up on the bar.
I had a woman call up there one time and say, I just wanted to ask if my husband was up there for lunch today. I said, first of all, I said, it's none of my business. Two, I don't know what your husband looks like because you're not giving me a really good accurate description because there's a lot of people with that same name. And three, I just got on shift, so I wouldn't know what happened during the lunch shift anyway. She was like, okay, well, I'm just calling to check. I was like, uh-huh.
And then?
No, and then.
And I was like, I said, no, I wouldn't have. I said, I don't know what happened during lunch. I said, I just got on shift. And she was like, okay, well, I just wanted to call to check. I said, okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Like, if you're that insecure in your relationship, you just need to leave. Mm-hmm. You just need to leave.
I've never heard. I've seen it on TV shows.
Yeah,
I've never actually witnessed it or known anybody who's had that happen.
Like, I feel like it'd be an older man coming in, like a guy in his 50s. Yeah. He's just trying to spend some time away from his wife. No, these
are guys like in their 30s that are insane. Doing this. Like, and I'm like,
you guys, but they're so, like, what the fuck you call them? They're, unreal.
You're calling the establishment and asking if your husband was there. Like, lady, even if he was, I'm not going to tell you.
Track him on his phone.
Work on your PI skills, lady. Go figure it out for yourself.
Track him on your phone.
Like, why would I even tell you something like that? I'm not going to be the cause of any shit that hits a fan in your relationship. Yeah, no.
Right.
So now, what kills me, though, is all of the wives that come up there or call up there bitching because they're like, oh, I've even had them message me on Facebook. They're like, oh, so you're the bartender. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the bartender. What the fuck's the problem? Well, my husband was at the bar last night, and he had a extremely high tab. I said, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
I said, the man can spend money how he wants to. I said, it's not my problem. Well, he tipped you so-and-so and so-and-so. Is there anything I should be concerned about? I said, listen, do you know how many times I have been blamed for their husbands cheating on them with me just because I'm the bartender? Hmm.
I can see that.
Yeah, I could see that happening a lot.
I'm like, are you people crazy?
That's some insecurity.
Insecure, just leave. Like, yeah, it's not that damn hard.
It's a little weird.
Obviously, if you do not, if you've got all of these coarse feelings towards other people because you're insecure in your relationship, you just need to leave. I don't care if you're hurting the other party. The other party will get over it because I'm sure they'll get under somebody else to get over it. So just leave. Just leave. It's a lot easier to just leave.
Yeah, at that point, you would think so.
That's wild.
It's terrible. And the married men that actually take their rings off to come into the bar.
No, never.
My mind, too.
I actually kept my fucking wedding ring longer, so when I would go out to the bar, I would wear it because it attracts more women than it deters.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like, I would have men come in, and this was like, I've worked at bars in Florida too, so it's like, I worked at the bar in Orange Park that has the dog track, and they race the greyhounds or the little whippets or whatever.
Yeah.
They race the dogs, and they have a casino and bar upstairs. So I bartended up there for a little while. It wasn't very long, but you'd have married men coming in all the time. And obviously you live in Florida. You're going to have tan lines. If you wear a ring on a regular basis, you're going to have a tan line on your finger. Had a guy walk in and he put his hand on top of mine and he was like, giving me all kinds of compliments and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, how's your wife? He said, what are you talking about? I said, you really don't think I'm blonde, do you? I said, you've got a tan line on your finger. I said, if y'all were separated or y'all were not together anymore, you would not have that tan line on your finger.
Yep.
I'm not dumb.
Yo, I can't take mine off. This is mine now.
Yep.
I got mine tattooed on me, just the wedding date.
Oh, I've got a ring that I bought that I wear whenever I go out in public because I get so tired of people asking me, are you married? As a matter of fact, I am. Leave me alone.
Back the fuck up.
I can't stand it. Like, it is absolutely terrible. And the one that I bought, it looks like a legitimate engagement ring. And I've had so many people that ask, are you married? I'm like, yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. Please leave me alone. I can't go in Walmart. I can't even go in Walmart. It's terrible.
Yeah, like, man, I know what that's like. Yeah, they won't leave me alone. The ladies won't don't leave me alone.
Well, it's only like a certain genre of people. are knocking on that door constantly, and I'm just like,
yo, for me it's women 40 and older, always and forever. You ask my wife about it too, always the older women. Never have I ever been hit on by a younger woman. It's always older women that compliment me, always.
We're not starting Never Have I Ever. Last time we played that.
Well, that was live. That was live on my drunk stream. That went well. So talking about streaming, how did you get into streaming? When did you start?
Well, I got into streaming through a few people that I had met that I no longer talk to, but we won't get into that, but I got into streaming that way. Actually, one of the first people that I ever watched on stream was Dirty Joe. He was probably the first one that I had ever watched and, you know, got into it. I met a lot of people through him and, you know, got into it that way. But, you know, through those people, I wound up meeting Clutch and meeting Scoops, and, you know, it's stemmed from there. So I got into it and decided that I was going to start streaming, and that's when I started doing it on Facebook. Well, didn't exactly go how I wanted it to with Facebook, so went over to Twitch, and it has just been so much easier, so much more laid back. It's just, I can actually breathe and stream on Twitch at the same time, because having to do all of the shit that you have to do on Facebook is absolutely ridiculous. I've got over 400 followers on my page on Facebook. I've got months of content, and they still, I've appealed that thing I don't know how many times, and they still won't give me my stars on there.
Stars are like bits. Yeah, I got you.
It's absolutely ridiculous. They would not give them to me, and I had deleted everything because I started out with my Femme Fatale page. That I had done everything through there. I had like 4 months worth of content, and I took a month off because, you know, of various reasons. But one of the reasons was because they were not giving me my stars. So I was like, okay, well, maybe if I take a month-long break, I appeal what I was supposed to, then maybe they'll give it to me. I appealed it, and they like instantly replied and said, no, we still are hitting you for limited originality content. I'm like, either way,
that's asinine, because that's money that you earned in tips and donations. That's
well, ridiculous. That's the thing is like,
No, they weren't activating them, so people couldn't send stars.
Oh, they weren't activating. It's not that you had already earned the stars, earned the money.
No, Facebook,
that they wouldn't earn.
They would not activate them.
Yeah, okay. Facebook, you have to.
My thing is like, if Facebook to me, and this is the way that they're getting, because there's a lot of people that are coming to Twitch now because of Facebook, they're taking a lot of their privileges away, or they're hitting them with stupid ass content violations. And my thing is, if you're not benefiting Facebook in the way that they see fit, they're going to completely cancel you.
Mm-hmm.
If you, and that's what's bad, is because all of these women that are partner, 95% of them are either not good at what they do and are half dressed, or they're really good at what they do and they just have a huge following. And that's where Facebook makes the most money. And, but some of these people, like, I know that y'all have probably watched Hitman on Facebook. Mm-mm. Hitman is, he reminds me of you, Clutch, but he always wears a white button up shirt with a red tie. He looks like the Hitman character.
Okay. I think I've seen one or two. Yeah.
He is like no filter, no nothing. You know, people come in and troll in his chat, and he will sit there and talk shit to those people. And the only reason he has not gotten partner, is because of his language and his content. Facebook does not want to promote somebody like that. But you're wanting to promote women that wear hardly any clothes. Mm-hmm. But if a woman posts a half-naked picture and somebody reports it, they take that shit down. Yeah. See, that makes sense.
That's not true, because one of Facebook's first partners that they signed, and they signed to a huge contract, does the same thing. Rival X Factor.
Mm-hmm.
Sits there and talks shit, literally in-game, too. He will tell his teammates, he plays Apex, too, he'll tell his teammates, dude, I fucked your mom last night.
Yeah. But see, he's a hitman's always getting hit with content violations because he's got just as many haters as he does supporters. So they keep reporting his shit. And that's why he can't get partner, because he keeps getting content violations for it.
Facebook's worthless in every aspect, not just for gaming. Facebook is just worthless.
And the only reason I have it is because that's where my business page is. I don't have a website or anything like that. And that's really the only reason I keep it.
And it's a way to keep in touch with everybody. Really it.
I really don't have a whole lot of my actual family on Facebook, but it's like people that I have met through the streaming community that live in all of these different states. It gives me a way to keep in contact with them. And it's just, it blows my mind at how the people that are streaming and still streaming on Facebook are just now getting hit. Like, there's a guy, his name is Merc Nugget on Facebook, and they took his supporter badge away from him. They took all kinds of shit. He had to start an entire new page, an entire new gaming page to get all of this stuff back. And this dude's got over
and that's the funny thing. Here I am on Twitch. I say whatever the fuck I want, whenever the fuck I want.
That's why
It's because we're so small, nobody pays attention.
Now, there's people just like me, like Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tatman and Nick Marks. They're all the fucking same. Like, they say what they want, when they want, and how they want to say it. They don't fucking care, and they may.
I used to tone it down a lot. Like, not anymore.
Nick Marks yesterday,
Nick Marks.
Just made the switch to Apex.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They're Apex streamers now for at least this season. Nick Marks is carrying 42,000 people.
42,000 cool. is ridiculous.
I feel really cool when I have 10 to 15.
I'm like, how
the fuck? I had 19 viewers the other day, and I'm like, holy shit. My mind's blown.
Why don't you tell the listeners what your name is on Twitch so they
spell
can
spell it? Nobody's gonna be able to fucking spell it.
Spell it for them, and I want to hear about why you chose that name.
Okay, so it's Anku_gaming. It's ANKOU_gaming, and the reason that I chose that name, well, one, I chose because I found a girl on Facebook that had eerily the same name I did whenever I was Femme Fatale. But hers was just completely opposite and butchered. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. I apologize. But it was butchered. I'm an honest person. I have no filter, but I will apologize if I hurt anybody's feelings. My reason for changing it was that, and then the way that I came up with the name, I was like, you know, I don't want to do anything with a Grim Reaper. I'm a Revenant main, so he's like the Grim Reaper, obviously. And I was like, well, you know, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do like Reaper gaming or, you know, some stupid shit like that. And I'm sorry if anybody has a Reaper gaming page. I apologize.
I've seen a few.
She's like Larry the Cable Guy.
All right.
I apologize for that. Be with the pygmies down in New Guinea. I was like, okay, I need to find another name, a variant of the Grim Reaper. So I started looking into other cultures and stuff like that. Well, I have Celtic background. And so the Celtic lore version of the Grim Reaper for them is called Anku. And the depiction that they give you is like he rides around in this horse-drawn cart. The cart's really rickety, and there's one really malnourished horse, and then there's one horse that's like, you know, really lively and vibrant. But he carries around a scythe. Hence, the new heirloom for Revenant is a scythe. And he's hooded. The new Revenant skin for the heirloom that came out was a hooded skin. And I was like, well, this fits. It works. And I just started reading the background of anything and or of all of it. And it said that if anybody were to hear him or he was to stop at the front door of the person's home, that death were to come, that death would come to everyone in the establishment. And Revenant always says, you know, they can hear me coming. And I was like, boy, this fits. Perfect. Perfect. So that's what I chose. And I was like, you know, that's why my name on PlayStation is Anchor's Advocate, because Revenant is Death's advocate. So he was once a human that is now not, and he brings death to everyone that he meets. So he is Death's advocate. So that's where that came from.
Nice. There's a lot of thought put into that. I like it.
Yes, there is.
I like it.
I hadn't known that, though.
You had known that? Yeah. I never got a chance to ask, so I had to ask now.
Yep. I put a lot of thought into it because, like, when I started my Femme Fatale page, when I first started playing it, I was maining Loba. And her finisher is called Femme Fatale. So that's just what I went with. And my mom was like, she said, I just feel like you're that type of person. I said, why do you feel like I'm that type of person? Because, you know, it's like, it's a deadly female. And I was like, she said, because, you know, you can't hold down a good relationship. I was like, well, fucking thanks. I appreciate
that. Thanks, tell mom I said hi. I need to meet her still.
I mean, it's nice up here in PA. It's nice up here in really PA, just saying.
That. Virginia Beach. We've already come to this conclusion.
You start saving, man. You can't go down there now. You got such a great paying job.
If he can make money off of Candy Crush, he'd be doing good.
Yeah,
I am making money off of Candy Crush. I'm getting paid to play
off of Candy Crush, not off of Candy Crush personally.
So
you're getting paid at your job, and you're just playing Candy Crush.
Listen, I have a good paying job here, but when we move to Virginia Beach, we already have a shop planned out.
Okay.
You're gonna make some money down there.
I got you. What are your goals with streaming? Do you have any particular goals, or are you just kind of doing it just to have a good time?
For the most part, I mean, it started out me just doing it for fun. I would like to get to partner on Twitch. That would be awesome because I've already completed all of the milestones for partner minus the 75 viewers. That's the hard part.
That's difficult.
And I was just like, you know, I'm trying to just stay active in the bringing communities together group that we have on Facebook, try to stay active in that. And, you know, they tell you from the beginning, you're not going to get famous off of this group. You're not going to get big off of this group. This is just a group for all of us to come together, and we're able to vent to each other, and we're not judged. We're able to support and be there for each other. And, you know, we're not getting, you know, slandered by everybody that's in there. So
sounds like a group we were a part of that got destroyed by the person who put it together.
It's really nice because it's like I had gone in there at one point, and, you know, they had to have this discussion not too long ago that, you know, people were sending private messages to people asking for money. And I was like, you know, I told the girl, her husband and her are the one that came up with the group. But I told her, I said, you know, I said, I would never go into multiple people's DMs and ask them for money. But I had gone in and I had posted one time, and it was when I was still kind of back and forth about streaming on Facebook still before I moved to Twitch fully. And my internet had gotten cut off. And usually I'll just stream and be like, you know, donations are welcome, yada, yada. You know, I need help with this, but I couldn't stream because I had no internet. So I went in and I posted, you know, I'm not able to stream. I have to pay, you know, $250 on my bill because they decided to bill us all at once for shit. So I had installation fees and all kinds of stuff that was left over that we're still trying to catch up to pay. And I went in there, posted it, and then not too long after, I had two different people send me money, collectively together, they sent like $200. So I only wound up $50 short because I was not going to get my VA disability check until the end of the month. So that allowed me to pay that $200 to that internet, get it turned back on, and I was able to stream the very next day.
That's awesome.
It's just like, it's a lot of good, genuine people that want to help other people out. Like, there's a guy in there now, his, one of his daughters has a lot of health issues, and he was forced to choose between his daughter and his job. So he quit his job.
Yeah.
And he's been doing streams and all kinds of stuff to try to raise money to help him throughout the month until he can figure something out, which is great. And a lot of people support him, and I support him fully because he was one of the guys that sent me money to get my internet paid off. So obviously I'm going to return the favor. And it's like, it saddens me that people, because of COVID, will make you choose between your family and your job. And I'm like, we're getting to a point where we no longer live in a democracy. It's a fucking dictatorship.
Yeah.
It's full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Right.
Yo, I put something on Facebook last night. And it was just really short and really simple. It mm-hmm. said Republicans versus Democrats, black versus white, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Do you get the picture yet? Because it just seems like the government and the media, which is basically at this point just the right arm of the government.
Yeah.
And it's just like they're trying their best to divide everybody. They're trying to pit this class against that class. And when one thing plays its course, then it's on to the next. So the election was over. So they went on to black versus white. And now it's vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Anything they can do to separate us, they're trying.
Well, and now the CDC is blaming all of the vaccinated people for spreading the virus.
Which is ridiculous because you can catch it when you're vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can spread it when you're vaccinated.
Especially the new variant.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Now we've come full circle back to the beginning of the episode. But here's a question for you guys. When you get tested, when you get that COVID test to see if you have it, they're not testing for the virus. They're testing for the antibodies, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That I don't know.
How do they know that you have the Delta variant? How do they know that you even have the virus in you?
There's no test for the Delta.
There's no test for Delta.
Like
when they're doing the nose swab, they're testing for COVID.
Yeah,
the antibody test is a blood draw.
Yeah, it's a blood draw.
Okay,
I was an extra, which is, this is going to come back full circle. I was an extra for a Bruce Willis movie
that they filmed
here in Georgia. So I had to have my finger pricked so that they could test to see if I was antibody positive for COVID, which that blood test takes literally like 2 minutes and that's it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Me, a person with piercings and tons of hours of tattoos, I can't stand to have my finger pricked. I cannot. It hurts so damn bad and I cannot stand it. But they pricked my finger. They put the little dropper in there and sucked the blood up out of my finger and then put it in this little tray. And, you know, it's got the control and test strip on there that tells you whether, you know, you're positive or not. Thankfully, I was not. But, you know, I'm like, I'm just glad I didn't have to have that nose swab because I don't need anybody probing my brain.
Well, it's crazy because they don't even do that anymore from what I understand. It's literally right in the front.
Yep, right at the bottom.
When they first started out, you could feel it up in your eyeballs.
That's crazy. That's gross.
So wait, what Bruce Willis movie?
What Bruce Willis movie? It's called Gasoline Alley.
Gasoline Alley. You heard it, guys. Make sure you check out Gasoline Alley with Bruce Willis and Nicole Hardin in it.
I am not sure when it's supposed to be out. It's supposed to be out, I think, next year. But there was a show back in the 20s, I think, that was called Gasoline Alley. But it is in no way, shape, or form the same thing. Gist of the movie is this. They keep finding these business cards of this tattoo artist at all of these crime scenes. And I played a dead body.
Nice.
So,
is it because you had the tattoos? It's because you got all the tattoos.
Well, they that wanted got you the role? Edgy females. Ooh. So I was like, that's what I was going to do. So to top it off, I was not just a dead body. I was a dead porn star.
Yes. So,
I was like, okay, whatever, but
if you're gonna give me money to lay there on the ground, sure thing, man.
Yeah, which they had us in lingerie,
which is probably a porn star's mentality too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I need to watch this movie now.
And they movie set blood sucks because it's Karo syrup and
it's sticky. Yeah.
Yes. I was, the way that I was sitting, they had a table turned over on its side. They had a gunshot in the TV. There was a bullet hole in the TV that was next to me. And so I'm leaned up against this table and I'm laid over to the side. I've got this big ass wound on the side of my head. And I was like, okay, so did somebody beat me with a baseball bat? Or, you know, I need to know the backstory of all of this so I can, you know, play this dead body correctly. Well, they had me sitting here, a girl was sitting next to me, and then there was another girl sitting next to her, and then there was a girl on the couch. Well, the girl that's sitting next to me, I'm cuffed to her. She is cuffed to the other girl next to her. And then the other girl's just laying on the couch. So whenever they start panning into the room with the camera, I'm like, there's no way in hell that you won't be able to see me on this movie if they use that scene, because they come right in on my fucking face. And I'm just like, oh God, like I'm playing a dead person and I'm nervous. I have no lines.
Yo,
and
I'm
nervous.
I bet you killed that scene.
No, dad joke of the year.
Got him.
We do need to start.
That was just dad like, joke of the week. Oh
so I gotta ask though, like, did they give you any coaching about playing a dead body? Did they tell you when we count in, you gotta hold your breath or some weird shit like that?
No, they really didn't. But you know, I kept listening for when they would, you know, when the director would call, and I was just like, I waited to hear that door to the house open, and then I was like, oh shit, now I gotta hold my breath. Because I'm terrible at holding my breath. I was a smoker for years. I cannot hold my breath. So
I would be a terrible dead body, man. Like, ugh.
I was like, but how do you even, because I'm that person that when I watch movies and I see dead bodies, I'm looking to see if they're still breathing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, yep. Oh my God, I gotta hold my breath. I don't want to be that person that somebody looks at and goes, that bitch is still breathing.
Yeah,
I couldn't hold my breath for that whole conversation.
It was a lot of fun, but it was just, it was very cold outside. So
of course you're wearing lingerie.
They wanted it to be cold.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, you know, there was plenty of people there, and I was just glad that they got all of that blood and shit off of me, because I was like, I'm not getting into my car with this shit on me.
Oh, you so they volunteered to scrub you down then too, huh?
Yes. Yes.
How do I sign up for that job?
Well, and it was a bunch of females. It wasn't males that did it.
And then
where can I be a cameraman for that job?
Should have went to school for it, bro. Went to school for it. All right. So this has been a lot of fun. Why don't you, before we do our plugs, why don't you plug all your stuff again? Tell us your Twitch handles so people can find you on there again. Tell us about your own business, if you have a website for that, anything that goes along with that, and then we'll hit ours after.
Okay. So on Twitch, it is Anku underscore gaming. That's A-N-K-O-W underscore, or K-O-W, K-O-U. God bless America. I can't spell. God, it's A-N-K-O-U underscore gaming on Twitch. On Facebook, my business is Crystal Wolf Company, spelled exactly. It's Crystal with a C, not Crystal with a K. On Facebook, and you can find me on there. And yeah, that's about it. I wish I had a website because it would be so much easier, but I'm still working on that. It's expensive, but now, I'm still working on it.
Now, do you ship all your products out and stuff too?
Yes, okay. I ship all over the US. So
that's awesome.
We should look into getting NDT tumblers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will.
Definitely. It's been really good to me. I'm not where I want to be on it. So I would really like to expand my clientele, but, I am really looking forward to doing a lot more with it. So hopefully it will grow in the next few years. I know it takes time and I know it takes effort. So I'm just being very patient with it. You know, it's done pretty well to be, you know, in the peak days of COVID and everything. So I am hoping that it is just going to pan out and I'm going to be patient with it. I'm not going to get, you know, outer limits. So I'm just hoping for the best.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that. And do you want to plug the bar that you currently work at so that any listeners down in that area might be able to come visit you? Or do we want to keep that a secret too?
Yes, absolutely.
We don't know.
We always love getting, especially we get a lot of travelers. So, you know, if you're ever in Cordial, Georgia, it is called Railhouse Tavern and we have great bar pub style food, burgers, tacos. You know, we've got all sandwiches. We do Phillies and all kinds of stuff. So it's not Phillies, but they're Phillies.
I love how people not from around this area call them Phillies. They're just fucking cheese sticks. That's it. Steak and cheese. That's it.
Cheese whiz. Gotta get cheese whiz. Everybody's
like, baby. The way that we do ours is it's the Philly meat and then it's onions and peppers and mushrooms and then we do white cheese on ours. We don't do the
so then it's not a Philly because a true Philly is literally steak and cheese.
I understand that.
That's it.
So you can't call it a Philly. We don't live in Philly. So
Philly doesn't put onions, mushrooms, peppers on it unless you ask for it. Because you go up to Pat or Gino's and you order,
okay,
a steak and cheese with or without,
with or without.
Oh God, here we go.
And with only means with onions. Most of them won't do peppers or mushrooms on it.
Yeah,
but see, you know, people think that you're supposed to put lettuce, tomato, and onion on a brunch burger that has an egg and bacon on it too. But you know, so. But yes, it's called Railhouse Tavern. We have really good food, and not to pat myself on the back, we have a really great bartender too. So
I imagine
who is the other bartender there? Because we know you're not talking about yourself.
Thanks. Yes,
don't talk to your future wife like that, man. You got to earn.
Flirting. Leave me alone.
All right, you heard it, guys. Make sure you visit her. Make sure you visit her website on Facebook there. And you can find us, Nonsense and Deep Thoughts, here. You can find us at NDT Podcast on Instagram. You can find us on YouTube and Facebook.
What's our email?
Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast. Our email, which we haven't even gotten a single email yet, is nonsense.
The name's too fucking long.
It's Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast at gmail.com. It was a lot of fun today, and I hope you had a lot of fun too, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.
I did.
Later.